Yo, what's up, everybody? Anton Crayley here from ecommercelifestyle.com, and welcome to another episode of the e-commerce lifestyle podcast. So I'm recording this one today from the office, not usual, like from the car. And the reason I wanted to hop on here real quick, just a super short episode, is to address a question that came up in our private Facebook community for students of my e-commerce training program called Dropship Lifestyle. And the question that came up is something that I'm sure everyone will at least think about as they're starting their business or as they're reaching out to suppliers or as they're forming everything, you know, legally. So the question was basically this person asking what they should do because they applied for a supplier that they wanted to work with, and the supplier emailed them back and asked them for resale certificates, so sales tax certificates, for every state that they're going to ship to. And they said, listen, is this common? What should I do? Do I have to do this? And I'm going to start. I'll answer the question. But before I do, just got to make my normal disclaimer that I am not an accountant. I'm not a lawyer. So if you want professional advice on this, then you should call a tax lawyer or an accountant and see what they have to say. What I will do is explain this from my understanding, again, as someone that's not a professional and not certified to do this stuff. And then I'll link to two articles that I think will help you understand kind of what's happening right now at the time I'm recording this in, March of 2019 in regards to sales tax. So, by the way, this is a sales tax thing. So, as you probably know, different states have different sales tax laws. Some states have 0% sales tax. Some have, you know, just it's all different, basically. And not just state to state, but county to county. The actual sales tax rate, you know, could be just like 0.01% different, but there usually is fluctuation through there. And with e-commerce businesses, online-only stores, the way traditionally that it has worked is basically if you have a business and your business is located in, let's just say, New York. If you live in New York, you have a corporation or an LLC, or you're doing business as a sole proprietor in New York, that would mean that you have to collect and pay sales tax on orders that ship to New York. So if you had an order from New Jersey, that would mean you don't have to collect and pay sales tax on that order that ships to New Jersey because your business is located in New York, right? And that's if you're online. So basically, people have been going off that advice. They've been going off that that theory for as long as I can remember, since I started with e-commerce back in 2007. Now, even I got to tell you, even years ago, right, the term nexus started coming up. And basically, nexus refers to a connection that your business has with another state. And there's a lot of different types of nexuses. So again, I'll post a link that has like videos explaining all these. But there is a click-through nexus. There's an affiliate nexus. There's a marketplace nexus. And now, recently, the one that got people talking about this again is an economic nexus. Now, the economic nexus is new, and this became a thing in a big Supreme Court case last year. And that court case was South Dakota, so the state suing Wayfair. Wayfair.com, if you don't know them, they're a publicly traded company. They do over $1 billion in sales every year, and they work pretty much on the dropship model. A lot of the stuff they sell is dropshipped. Now, what happened is South Dakota saw that Wayfair was selling a bunch of stuff there, shipping a bunch of stuff there, and they wanted to say, hey, Wayfair, you owe us sales tax, basically. You know, we want a profit off of you selling to South Dakota. So this went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and basically the court found that, yeah, you should have to pay South Dakota sales tax for orders you ship there. Now, this overruled the previous ruling from the Supreme Court that goes back to, I don't even know, it precedes this one. But the way that court rulings work is once something kind of, you know, passes, then a precedent gets set, okay? So what that means is because the Supreme Court said, yes, Wayfair, you have to pay sales tax to South Dakota for orders that ship to South Dakota, that means now, you know, North Dakota could say, hey, we want this too. And New Jersey could say, we want this too. And other states could say, we want this too. And here's the thing you have to know about that, okay? Yes, that's true. And yes, states now are starting to say that they want basically their money. They want companies that are online only to collect money. If the money is basically coming through orders that are going to their states, right? So for a company like Wayfair, that's a $1 billion company, this is a very real thing, and they are now collecting and paying sales tax for all these different states, right? Now, what does that mean for me, or what does that mean for you, for a smaller company, and what does this mean for the person that posted in Labs, where the supplier said, hey, I want a sales tax cert for every state that you're going to be shipping to? Well, again, at this point, that is not common. I haven't had any suppliers that have asked me for a sales tax certificate for every state that we ship to. It may become commonplace in the future. So if you listen to this 2 years from now, don't say Anton said we don't have to do that. I'm telling you right now, that's not how it is. The good news is if it becomes that way, what I really, you know will happen is that Shopify, which is who we use for our stores, they'll have a solution that just makes it very easy to basically collect and pay sales tax, because if everybody has to do it, Shopify, I think last time they reported, they have over 800,000 stores on their platform. Most are in the States. So again, if it becomes a thing, they're going to make sure that, you know, they're basically setting their merchants up for success. So that's kind of where I'm at with it now. But even with that being said, I just want to talk about why I think this is a big deal now for massive companies, where it's not as much of a big deal yet, for companies like mine and probably yours. So economic nexus, what does that mean? I mentioned there's a whole bunch of different types of nexuses. What is an economic nexus? Well, it basically means if you have an economic interest in that state, and the way they define that is different state by state. So each state determines basically what it means to have an economic nexus there. Usually there's two factors that go into this. Factor number one is a revenue number. So I think the lowest is like $100,000 of sales in a calendar year in a state. I know some of them are like $500,000. So I'll post again a link so you could see it state by state. But let's just say, and again, I'm making this up because I don't know the exact number, but let's just say New Jersey has a economic nexus that is now in effect because of the precedent of the South Dakota versus Wayfair basically ruling. What that would mean is if their economic nexus was for $500,000, if you sold over $500,000 in New Jersey in a calendar year, then you would have to basically be responsible for sales tax. Now, I mentioned there's two things that usually go into this. So one is that top line number. The second way they determine if you have an economic nexus is above a certain order amount. So I think most of them are about 200 orders. So again, think about, like, you can go back and look at your last year's numbers and think about or look to see how many states you shipped to, how many orders you shipped to each state, how much revenue came in from each state. And the only ones that would even be a concern in regards to the economic nexus are the ones that were just like super, super, super high. So if you are having, I don't want to say this problem, but if you're in a situation where you're crossing these economic nexus thresholds, then it shouldn't be a big deal to set up sales tax there, right? Because that means you're making a lot of money and getting a lot of sales. So what I would say, even if you are at that level now, talk to an accountant, see if it's worth setting it up, see if it's worth not doing it yet, see if it's worth waiting for this to really become mainstream. But that's where I'm at right now, as far as, you know, where we are. I definitely do not have a sales tax cert for every state we do business in. I'm also not, you know, above the thresholds for the economic nexus kicking in. But if you want to look at it for yourself, again, I'll post two relevant articles with a bunch of videos you could check out. Don't let this deter you. If you're getting set up, don't think, oh, things just got so much more difficult. They didn't. Again, this only matters once you're making a lot of money. And this is something that if it happens, it's going to happen for everybody. So we'll do what we've done for the past 12 years, which is figure out how things work now, how to adapt, and how to still be number one. So yeah, don't freak out. Don't give up. Don't think things are too hard. Things are still, you know, easier than they've ever been to get started online, which, by the way, if you haven't got started yet, go to dropshiplifestyle.com/webinar. Watch my free presentation there. You can see exactly how we do all this stuff and how to get started with building your very own highly profitable semi-automated store. Again, it's dropshiplifestyle.com/webinar. So check that out. And with that being said, I'm going to get back to work, finish up the day. And as always, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to E-commerce Lifestyle for all the new podcasts I publish. So that's it, guys. Appreciate you, and I'll talk to you on the next episode. See ya.